from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 11, 9-11, very significant date and time and chapter and verse. Text number 21. Is anyone adept in Sanskrit, please? Because this verse is really complicated. Anyone adept in this who would like to, you know, lead us? Because when we hear it properly, then we can learn it properly. Just like the philosophy. When I first came, the first day I came to the temple, I had many, many questions because I had already chanted and I read a little bit. And I had many, many questions. And one very sincere and amazing devotee, Vaishnavi Saradia, who's an artist, she answered all my questions. We spoke for hours. I would not let her go. And in the middle of her speaking, I was saying, "You are speaking the absolute truth so eloquently. I want to do this. I want to be able to speak like this and tell others what you're telling me. It's so profound and amazing." And she said, "When you hear nicely, then you'll be able to speak nicely." Because that's what Prabhupada always said. So if we hear the Sanskrit properly, then we can learn it properly. And anyone, please? Okay, Vijay? Vijay? Yasya malam nripa sadha suyaso dhunapi. Gayantya gaganam raso dhigabendra patam. I don't need it. Tamna, I don't need it. Shut it off. Padam bhujam ragupatim sharanam prapadye. Yasya malam nripa sadha suyaso dhunapi. Gayantya gaganam raso dhigabendra patam. Tamna kapala vasupala karita jushta. Padam bhujam ragupatim sharanam prapadye. Yasya malam nripa sadha suyasho dunhapi. Gayantya gaganam raso dhigabendra patam. Tamna kapala vasupala karita jushta. Padam bhujam ragupatim sharanam prapadye. Yasya malam nripa sadha suyasho dunapi. Gayantya gaganam raso dhigabendra patam. Tamna kapala vasupala karita jushta. Padam bhujam ragupatim sharanam prapadye. Anyone else? Yasya malam nripa sadha suyasho dhunapi. Gayantya gagranam raso dhigabendra patam. Tamna kapala vasupala karita jushta. Padam bhujam ragupatim sharanam prapadye. Vaishnavis. Anyone? Yasya malam nripa sadha suyasho dhunapi. Gayantya gaganam raso dhigabendra patam. Tam nakapala vasupala karita jushta. Padambujam ragupatim sharanam prapadye. Yasya. Whose? Lord Ramachandra's. Amalam. Spotless. Free from material qualities. Nirpasadushu. In the assembly of great emperors like Maharaj Yudhisthira. Yasha. Famous glories. Adunarapi. Even today. Gayanti. Glorify. Agagnam. Which vanquish all sinful reactions. Rasaya. Or Rishaya. Sorry, Rishaya. Great saintly persons like Markandeya. Dig Iba Indrapatam. As the ornamental cloth covering the elephant that conquers the directions. Tam, that, Nakapala, of heavenly demigods. Vasupala, of earthly kings. Kirita, by the helmets. Justa, are worshipped. Padaambujam, whose lotus feet. Ragupatim, unto Lord Ramachandra. Sharanam, surrender. Prapadye, I offer. So thank you, Vijaya, you're a great teacher, because we kind of all got it by hearing nicely. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Ramachandra's spotless name and fame, which vanquish all sinful reactions, are celebrated in all directions. Like the ornamental cloth of the victorious elephant that conquers all directions. Great saintly persons like Markandeya Rishi still glorify his characteristics in the assemblies of great emperors like Maharaj Yudhisthira. Similarly, all the saintly kings and all the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, worship the Lord by bowing down with their helmets. Let me offer my obeisances unto his lotus feet. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, one thing that caught my attention here in this verse is the helmets. It's mentioned in the words, the kirita, by the helmets is kirita. Oh, okay. Kirita is saying it's the helmets. It's translated as helmets. Kirita also means fame. So one's fame, the king's fame, is there in their helmets, and they're bowing down that greatest, all their fame, all their achievements, they're offering, bowing down their head to the Lord. And of course, our heads are very important to us. So this is our helmet. And when we bow down to the Lord, it's not only for those few moments, but we should always remember that our heads are always bowing down to the Lord. When we bow down to the Vaishnavas, it shouldn't be only for those few moments that we do it. And then, okay, now my head's up, and I'm on top of everyone. I'm taller or whatever. But no, our heads should always be, our minds and heart and emotions should always be that I am servants. What can I give you that I have? What is the greatest thing I can give you that I have? For the kings, it's their fame. It's they conquered so many others. It's their power, and they're offering that to Lord Ramchandra. So in that sense, whatever we have, the best of what we have, we want to be bowing down and offering to the Lord and the Vaishnavas all the time. And if we think like that, then our life is impeccable. We do the best we can to always be offering the best that we have, sharing. Another very amazing point in this is like the ornamental cloth of the victorious elephant. The Lord's glories are celebrated like the ornamental cloth of the victorious elephant. Did you ever, what is the emotion you get when you've ever seen an elephant walking down the street, especially if it gets close to you? Has anyone experienced that? Like all of a sudden, like you turn around, there's like this huge elephant. Of course, I've been in India a lot, so, and we were on Padyatra, and there would be these gigantic elephants every now and then just rambling down the road. And it's a feeling of awe. It's inspiring, awe-inspiring feeling. Your heart starts beating like when you see a big parade and the drums are beating. Your heart starts beating. You see this big elephant, boom, boom, walking down the road. And now he's decorated with all kinds of cloth. So this is the glory. This is compared to the name and fame and glory of Lord Ramchandra. That when we see the Lord in any of his forms, our hearts should be pounding like this and in awe and reverence and all inspiring. So, nice verse. Any comments or questions so far? Now it's also saying here that all these great kings, even the demigods, what to speak of the great human kings, are bowing down and serving Lord Ramchandra because he is so amazing. And in the same way, we have actually experienced in our lifetime, and you're experiencing now, the greatness of the great representative of Lord Ramchandra, the great representative of Krishna, Prabhupada. He came here, and Prabhupada, all great personalities come to him, fall at his feet. That's the meaning of Prabhupada. Even the great rishis from the past are honoring what Prabhupada has done. Even the great acharyas of the past are honoring and supporting what Srila Prabhupada has done. So sometimes we need to see the big picture of who we are, what we're doing, what we're taking part in. Sometimes we lose that and we have some petty little arguments over this or that or how things should be done or whatever. But actually, if we see the greatness, the big picture of what is happening here, Prabhupada's movement is being supported by the whole disciplic succession. And all the demigods are cheering this Sankirtan mission on. And we're taking little parts. And if we take up that part and that spirit, then we're actually dynamic disciples. Because that is the truth of what is going on in this movement and in the world right now when Prabhupada came. It says here that Lord Ramachandra vanquishes all sinful reactions. I mean, every few words is something amazing. And he vanquishes all sinful reactions. So that means all your suffering he can vanquish. And I was in Srila Prabhupada's room in Delhi one time when he was giving a small darshan. It was about 15 of us maybe and a few Indian people. And he was saying how everyone is trying to enjoy in this world. Everyone's trying to avoid suffering and trying to enjoy. But no matter how much they try, no matter how hard you try, you have this much suffering, this much enjoyment, or this much enjoyment and that much suffering, according to your karma. And he was going like this with his arms. And then one Indian gentleman came in. I had invited him to come to visit Prabhupada. And as soon as Prabhupada saw him, he saw this very educated Indian gentleman come. And he said, come and sit. And he sat right next to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada repeated that, yes, everyone is looking for enjoyment. But no matter how much you try, this much suffering, this much enjoyment, you can't get away from that karma. And he said, but if you become a devotee and surrender to Krishna, then no more suffering, no more enjoyment. And he repeated that a few times. No more suffering, no more enjoyment. And I was thinking, okay, I can understand that, you know, you surrender to Krishna, you get some happiness from Krishna consciousness, but I'm still suffering. We're trying to surrender here, and I'm still suffering. And there was a time when Prabhupada said that, no more suffering, no more suffering. And then he stopped for a minute, and I thought, here's my chance. So I raised my hand, and I said, Prabhupada, is it to the extent that we're Krishna conscious that we don't, you know, that our suffering starts ceasing, that our sinful reactions start ceasing? Or is it, you know, what is this? You know, is it our karma still? We're trying to be devotees? And Prabhupada said, It's all Krishna. Oh, sorry. Thank you. He said, It's all Krishna. And he said, thank you. Anytime you're feeling some happiness, that is coming from Krishna. And I was thinking, okay, I know that. I get that. I'm in kirtan. I'm dancing in ecstasy. That's coming from Krishna. I thought that. But then he hesitated again. So I blurted out, but the suffering too, Srila Prabhupada. Because that's really what I needed to know. Because here I am. We're trying to surrender for so many years, so many days in, days out, trying to engage in devotional service. And I still have suffering in my heart. So, you know, is that still Krishna? So the suffering too, Srila Prabhupada? I blurted it out. And he said, yes. He says, it's all Krishna. He said, just like the chatak bird. And he went like this. He said, the chatak bird only goes to the clouds for rain. The chatak bird needs water, but it will not go to the rivers and the ponds and the lakes. It only drinks water from the rain coming from the sky. And he said, so he's praying, where is rain? Where is rain? And then Prabhupada said, but sometimes he gets thunderbolt. And he went just like that, kind of right at me, thunderbolt. And everyone laughed, so Prabhupada did it again. Yes, he said, sometimes he gets thunderbolt. Like this. And I went, whoa, all right. then he said something about the verse of Lord Chaitanya, you may handle me roughly by your embrace, make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, still you're my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. So now I call any kind of suffering that we have as thunderbolt mercy. It's thunderbolt mercy. Just like sometimes a parent has to rein in their child, sometimes with harsh words or a little harsh action, and you know, you have to say, no, you can't do this. This is because it's dangerous for you. So you're going in off, come back a little bit. So thunderbolt mercy. So whatever we experience, once we surrender to the Lord, and that goes for everyone in the world who surrenders at all to Krishna, to God in their heart, to the Lord of their heart. To the Lord of their heart. It's the same Lord. We know he has millions of names, millions of forms. He enters into every single, species. So if someone is worshiping sincerely, that is bhakti. And so when they once sincerely, then the Lord starts controlling their karma. So it's not as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, mechanical means. The mechanical, there's a verse he says in one of his prayers in English. I forget the exact words, but he uses the word mechanical. You know, life's mechanical, lifeless rules. Mechanical, lifeless rules. That's the Maya. That's the karma. That's material karma. Mechanical, lifeless rules. Of course, Maya is behind it, and that she's also energy of Krishna. But it's more or less mechanical. You do this, you're going to get that. No way up. No way out. Not much mercy there. But when you try to surrender to the Lord in your heart with any amount of true bhakti, true sincerity, then the Lord starts taking over your life. And then everything is his mercy. His kick, his kiss is the same. And we take it like that and we learn from it. We learn from it so we don't make the same mistake. Once you learn your karma, once you learn what you're meant to learn, then no more karma, once you actually get it. Why are we suffering? We don't even know sometimes why we're suffering. Because it says that if we knew, we would faint. We wouldn't be able to handle all the sinful things we've done from previous lives. And when we see someone, that's all the more for devotees to feel compassion, like Prabhupada. His heart was just full of compassion for fallen conditioned souls because he sees the souls are suffering from so many lifetimes. And one time maybe that was me. I also suffered like that. We see a street person or we see someone, you know, being murdered or whatever. And we've all been there. We've all been there. We've all done that. So we should think like that and not just think, oh, hey, you know, not me. You know, I'm better than that. That will keep our ego down when we think, no, I've been there. I've done that. How can I uplift this person? How can I help them? And, you know, if they're under me, let me uplift them. If they're over me, let me try to learn from them. And that's the Vaishnava way from Nectar of Instruction, how to relate to everyone. The other day in class, someone asked about feelings and how we have feelings for each other, for devotees, and that they learned that they should not express any feelings except for the feelings that would be like, you know, for Prabhupada or for Krishna, and not for, you know, not expressing other feelings like everything. And I was thinking, well, what is the feelings that Prabhupada wanted us to have towards each other? I mean, he came to defeat impersonalism. He came to defeat it. So with each other, we need to be personal, because we are not these bodies. We're spirit souls. We're trying to be Vaishnavas, surrendering to the Lord as from the heart. So he wanted us to be, and he said, these are his words, ladies and gentlemen, and he would say, cooperate amongst each other. So even if I disagree with the way someone is, you know, doing something, there's so many ways that we can do devotional service. And the sincerity of the heart is the most important thing. I was in Prabhupada's room here in New Dwarka, 72, and he, some devotees came in with the roadshow music, and they were trying to get Srila Prabhupada's approval. Is this okay? I mean, it's something totally different. It's guitars and regular Western drums, Western instruments, totally upbeat, you know, Western tunes and English words. And so they were playing this for Prabhupada. We were all in the room. And I remember we went in his, first we were in his front room, and then we all, to hear this, it was on a, I don't know if even CD, no, there was no CD in those days. It was tape recorder. I don't know what it was, something. But we all went in his bedroom there. And when we were sitting down, I felt like, oh, it's like sitting with my grandfather. Like, it was so warm and friendly, and devotees were around, and Prabhupada was just like father-like with us. And he was listening, and he couldn't understand a thing. I mean, it's like, you know, the music is going. And he just listened, and then he said, what are they saying? What are they saying? And devotee said, oh, Prabhupada, they're saying you're not that body. And they're saying, you're not that body. You know you're not that body. You are pure spirit soul. Imagine this, talking as a song. Your body's just a lump of clay. My kids used to make fun of that. It's kind of gross, but it's true. But anyway, they were singing the song. And they said, Prabhupada, they're saying you're not that body. And then he said, okay. And he listened a little more. And then he said, is that Vishnu Jana singing? And the devotee said, yes, Prabhupada, that's Vishnu Jana singing. And then Prabhupada just waved his hand and said, anyone who hears him will become a devotee. So that's because of the sincerity, his sincerity of wanting to just help these people, uplift them and understand these words. It doesn't matter what the instrument is. It's the sincerity of heart. Prabhupada approved of anyone who hears his voice will become a devotee. And when Prabhupada would do these things, say these things, like Jayananda, his service, his silent service, Prabhupada said, silent server. He was a silent server. And he did amazing things for Rath Yatra. It wasn't just for this one particular person in eternity. Anyone can claim that by their bhakti, by their sincerity. Can claim that grace that Prabhupada bestowed on them by saying these things. And yes, it was them, but it's also others. It also could be us. It could be you who claim that grace from Prabhupada, that he would say, you're amazing, server of Krishna. So this we have to, these are examples. Not that we just take that one person and idolize them and think that's it. No one else can ever come to that standard. Prabhupada wanted everyone to come to these standards. He said, I don't want just one moon, so many stars. I want one moon, at least one moon, but many, many stars, many moons. It'll all brighten up the sky. So we're however we can serve him in that way. I mean, he said that to me, but I never took it just for me personally. We were again up in the room. And again, in a very fatherly way, at that time, Hridayananda was asking Prabhupada to take sannyas. We were very eager. We were like married 1 year in ISKCON, and in those days, you didn't even live together. We just would meet to go do sankirtan during the day. I was in the Brahmacharini ashram, and we were like friends who were just doing service together. And there was no cooking or serving personally or anything like that. And so then we went eagerly to Prabhupada's room. Can we take sannyas? We thought it was going to be we. And Prabhupada asked very fatherly and kindly three times, does your wife agree? And I was like, yes, Prabhupada. We're doing this for you. Surrender. We had no idea. And he goes, sometimes it is difficult. And he said very seriously. And I remember I was thinking, yeah, but Prabhupada will help us. When we give it all, he's going to be there for us. So it's like kind of like the coward boys when they jump into Agasura's mouth. It's like, yeah, it's scary, but I mean, you know, Krishna's going to be there. So what will be the difficulty? And anyway, so then when after the third time, I says, yes, Prabhupada, we agree. And then Prabhupada came to me very closely, and I remember his compassion in his eyes were just unfathomless, like the ocean, just so deep. And he looked at me like he cared so much what happened to me. And he said, what are you going to do? That's exactly what he said. What do you want to do? What would you want to do? And I was like, I didn't expect any personal question from him. And of course, I was a little nervous. And when he said that, all I could think of was, oh my God, he's standing in front of me, Jagat Guru, spiritual master of the universe. And whatever he says, Krishna's going to back him up. So whatever I ask for right at this moment, I'm going to get it. Because Krishna will back it up, and he's asking me. So I was like, I was thinking all these things. And because I was thinking all these things, I was hesitating to answer. And at the same time, my mind was going to every desire I ever had, I think even from other lifetimes. I don't know if you've seen, I mean, I'm sure you've all seen films where someone at the time of death has this like epiphany where everything from their past life just flashes in front of them like rolls of film. It was just like little rolls of film. And every desire I think I ever had, even from other lifetimes, were coming through. It's like, what do I want? I can have anything right now. I went very deep in my heart. And I hesitated, and I kind of even moved back from him. I said, oh, Prabhupada, I just want to be Krishna conscious. And it kind of came out like that. And I remember when it came out, he kind of leaned back and he looked at me like that, kind of almost like an artist goes like this after they create a painting. After they create something, they kind of want to analyze it a little. You address the deity, you want to make sure everything is in order. So you kind of look back. Did I do a good job? Is everything okay? So Prabhupada actually, when he looked at me like that, I know, oh my God, he did that. He went inside my heart and he pulled that out of all this other garbage that was there. And he went in and he pulled those words out of me from way deep somehow. I just want to be Krishna conscious. And he looked back like that, looked at me, and then he smiled and he said, you're already Krishna conscious. And he went like that, like, you're done. That's it. And as soon as he did, I went, oh my God, he's doing that to all of us. He's doing that to all of us. You're all Krishna conscious. You're all surrender this much. Just try to surrender this much. And you're all Krishna conscious. Then it's our duty to try to act on that. Then we have even more obligation to try to act on that. Not that we take it lightly. Oh, hey, Prabhu, I got the okay. We do have the okay. Even our relatives have the okay. Even anyone associated, just like with Lord Ramachandra, it says, well, I didn't even get to the next verse. Sorry yet. I'm supposed to get to the next verse, right? But In the next verse, it says, all the inhabitants of Ayodhya went to all the place where all bhakti yogis go. Because anyone associated with the Lord, anyone associated with Prabhupada and his movement, who's done anything, is assured, whether it's this lifetime or maybe a few or whatever, but we're assured. So it's looking, the future looks bright for all of us. We're very fortunate. And we want to, one time Vishnu Jana had said, Prabhupada, we're so fortunate. And Prabhupada said, I created your good fortune. Now you go out and create good fortune for others. And so this is how we repay back, by gathering up more souls, trying to influence our friends, our family, strangers out on Sankirtan, any way, anyhow, just by being the best we can be as Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis and giving Krishna and Prabhupada to others. I guess I'll go to the next verse. Is there, how much time do we have? Oh, okay. So I'll go to the, and any questions or comments? Anything? Experiences? Yes, Prabhu. Oh, he just said, I don't want so many stars. Even if I can create one moon, I'll be happy. In other words, some devotee. Yes, please. Clarify.
What is the use of so many stars?
Yes. One moon is sufficient. One great personality. I mean, actually, if you look in the history of so many acharyas, Prabhupada was that one moon. And he's done so much. So when we speak to Indian people, sometimes we can say, look, one Indian person who came to America has created such a spiritual revolution. So try to take this up and, you know, seriously. And anyway. So we'll go to the next verse. Sayaish Bishto Bishtrova Sambishto Nugato Piva Koshalaste Ayustanam Yatragachanti Yogina. Translation: Lord Ramachandra returned to his abode to which bhakti yogis are promoted. This is the place to which all the inhabitants of Ayodhya went after they served the Lord in his manifest pastimes by offering him obeisances, touching his lotus feet, fully observing him as a father-like king, sitting or lying down with him like equals, or even just accompanying him. Purport. So Krishna has different relationships with different persons. Some he's more intimate, some he's more formal, some he's more informal with. And this is according to our own individual hearts, how he will relate to us. He says in Bhagavad Gita, as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam, evam yo veti tatvata, takvadeham punar janma, naiti mam eti so arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Here this is confirmed. All the inhabitants of Ayodhya who saw Lord Ramachandra as citizens, served him as servants, sat and talked with him as friends, or were somehow or other present during his reign, just being present during his reign, went back home, back to Godhead. After giving up the body, the devotee who becomes perfect in devotional service enters that particular universe where Lord Ramachandra or Lord Krishna is engaged in his pastimes. Then after being trained to serve the Lord in various capacities in that Prakata Leela, the devotee is finally promoted to Sanatan Dharma, the supreme abode in the spiritual world. The Sanatan Dharma is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Paras Tasmat Tubhavo Nyo Vyakto Vyaktat Sanatana. One who enters the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is called Nitya Leela Pravishta. To understand clearly why Lord Ramachandra returned, it is mentioned herewith that the Lord went to that particular place where the bhakti yogis go. So the Lord wants to go where the bhakti yogis are. And the bhakti yogis want to go where the Lord is. So it's reciprocal. Reciprocable. The impersonalists misunderstand the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam to mean that the Lord entered his own effulgence and therefore became impersonal. But the Lord is a person and his devotees are persons. Indeed, the living entities like the Lord were persons in the past. They are persons in the present and they will continue to be persons even after giving up the body. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. So here we have another example of stars. the effulgence of the Lord. I was thinking, the effulgence of the Lord is amazing, and it has truth to it. There is the impersonal aspect of God, and that is a fact. But that impersonal aspect of God is not as great, and even a child can understand this, like so many stars in Hollywood. They're called stars because they have some effulgence. People are attracted. There's a light. Their light is shining through fame, fortune, personality. So we read about them, we hear about them, we watch movies about them, whatever. And their light is shining. We're attracted to that light. But beyond the light, everyone wants to know about their personal life. So there's always so many magazines telling about all their little pastimes and antics and, you know, things that go on in their pride. And people are so eager to read these things because they want to know the person behind that star. Who is the person behind that fame? Who is the real person behind that actor or actress? So even a child can understand that the person behind is more important than the effulgence philosophically. So Prabhupada was very amazing because he had that personal relationship with Krishna, and he was able to help us to kind of introduce us to Krishna's person. So we're very fortunate. When it's saying here, even those who were just there, who just existed in Ayodhya, they also went to the place of bhakti yogis. So I have to say this one story. When I was in Gainesville, and Srila Prabhupada came to Gainesville, he was giving that famous class where he says, "It is so nice to see so many young boys and girls in this remote corner of the universe." And then he said, "It is remote because it is millions of miles away from Lord Chaitanya's birthplace." Well, in that lecture later on, he was saying how in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says anyone who thinks of him at the time of death will go to him. So he said, "I had one disciple, Kartikeya, and his mother, and on her deathbed, she challenged, 'Where is your Krishna? Is he here now?' And she died." And Prabhupada said, "And so she went to Krishna." And then he said, "This is stated in Bhagavad Gita." And he looked very serious when he said, he leaned forward right at us and said, "And it's stated in Bhagavad Gita. Don't think that it's not true. That mercy, that unfathomable grace, don't think it's not true because it is stated in Bhagavad Gita." So I just thought that was very amazing. I always remember that. And then my situation was my mom, an Italian mother, she was very upset when I became a devotee. She couldn't understand anything. She was very religious and pious, but couldn't understand the philosophy, anything of depth. So I came home one day with my sari and my beads and my tilak, and I'm flying in the house, "Hare Krishna." And she goes, "What are you wearing? What are you wearing?" And I said, "Oh, Mom, it doesn't matter what we wear. We're not these bodies. We're spirit soul." And she goes, "You're an Italian soul. You ate spaghetti all your life. Don't you forget it." And then, anyway, I was quite young, and I joined the movement. I just left home and kind of moved in the temple, and it was a controversy. She was very upset. So all those years, for many, many, many years, she wouldn't even say the word Krishna. She would say, "Stay away from those K people. They do something to you." And she was trying to keep my father away from, because he was such a devotee in his heart. He liked the philosophy. He would be chuckling, going, "Ah, the cheaters and the cheated," when he would see the news. He was reading Prabhupada's books on the side, but she was trying to keep him away too. So anyway, when she got very old, she came to live with us in Florida. When we get old, sometimes we lose our fight. We lose our gumption and fight, and we just, whatever, you know. And she needed to be taken care of, so we took care of her. My husband helped a lot with that. we arranged a special little apartment for her in our home, and we took care of her. And gradually, we'd bring her to the temple just to get out, and gradually she was eating prasadam, coming to the temple, and she started chanting Hare Krishna a little bit, not like japa, but, you know, going in front of my altar and going, Krishna, bless all the Krishnas. Anyway, her last few days, we were having a kirtan, and, well, at first she said to me one day, is Krishna going to come and help me? Because she was suffering. And I said, yes, Nanny, Krishna is going to come and help you. You'll see, he'll help you. And then a few days later, we're having the boys and friends, young girls and boys, were having kirtan in my living room. And I went in her room and I said, they're praying for you. The devotees are here and they're praying. She goes, I hear them. And then she said, Krishna is here now. And so I got all the devotees to come in her room, and they all gathered around her room, and they were a little nervous. They didn't know what to say, and she was very weak. And I said, Nanny, look at all the angels that are here to see you. And she opened her eyes and she went, Hari Bol. And they all went, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And then one of them broke into this beautiful, soft tune, a beautiful tune, and started singing. And they were all like singing like a choir. It was angelic. And she was singing along with them, and she closed her eyes. And she never, for 3 days, she didn't speak anymore after that. That was her last interaction with this material world. For 3 days, we just constantly, Bhadra and a couple of my friends and myself, we just 24 hours, and my kids, 24 hours, we were there reading, chanting, praying with her. And a sannyasi came in right as she left, and other devotees were there chanting. And so this is the mercy, that just by associating, in all those years, she was so offensive. I was thinking she was going to have to suffer terribly and offensive, you know, but Krishna just, no, she's, you know, she gave her daughter. And so even unwillingly. So we all have stories, I'm sure, where our parents or someone we know dear is getting mercy, unworthy mercy. So I feel like I'm in that situation. It's unworthy mercy that I get from Prabhupada. So it's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, and it's confirmed again in Bhagavatam, that anyone who was just there in his manifest pastimes got to go to him. Let's see. Any comments or questions so far? Anything you want to bring up? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you for the very nice class. Going back to your mention of the roadshow presentation to Srila Prabhupada. After that, other devotees came to Prabhupada wanting to play guitar and sing, and Prabhupada said no. So then, you know, one may wonder, how do you know which way to go? Sometimes the spiritual master approves something that is not regular activity in devotional service, and other times he says no to the same thing.
Okay. That's a very good question, because sometimes there appears to be contradiction in instructions. So I think time, place, circumstances, Prabhupada always told us to use our own intelligence for time, place, and circumstances. We're not supposed to just be parrots and just, you know, verbalize a few little things that we like to hear or say and then not take the whole picture. So when we take the whole picture, we understand, oh, Prabhupada was acting in time, place, and circumstances. So if it's a matter of someone just trying to promote themselves using Krishna, just like even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we knew there were some scholars who used the Bhagavatam and used the scripture to try to promote themselves. And Lord Chaitanya was very strong against it. He would have Swarup Damodar check and make sure, are they using it for themselves? Or are they actually using it to glorify Bhagavatam and the truth, the absolute truth? So I think time, place, circumstances, we have to judge. Another big issue was always, should Gornitai wear turbans or not? Prabhupada, in one place, he said he saw some turbans. Maybe they weren't nice. Maybe they were shabby. Maybe they didn't present the glory of the Lord nicely. So Prabhupada said, don't put turbans on them. If you don't know how to do it, don't do it nicely. Maybe that was the situation. I wasn't there, I don't know personally, but maybe. Then other times he would see deities with turbans going tie, and he'd say, oh, very nice, they're so beautiful. So I think we have to use our intelligence as devotees. We're not supposed to just put our intelligence on a shelf. That's lazy. That's impersonal. To put our intelligence on a shelf, to put our discrimination on a shelf, that's impersonal. What does Prabhupada say? Utility is the principle. He was big on that. I mean, to me, those are his legacies. Utility, time, place, and circumstances. This was Prabhupada's legacy. He wasn't just parroting what his guru said. He modified things for the Western people. He himself modified things for the Western people. And there can be all kinds of preaching. The other day, one devotee, we were speaking, and she, not to get into details, but she was saying, the Hare Krishna mantra means, you know, we understand it to mean, oh my Lord, oh mercy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Oh energy of the Lord, engage me in your service. And then someone had was preaching and saying something like, oh, you know, it means, Lord, please accept me. So someone can fight over that. You can fight over that, and you can fight over that and destroy your own devotional service by being so critical of each other. Or we can say, you know, that's a different way of preaching to people maybe who are not ready to say, engage me in your service, but accept me, look at me, at least look at me, acknowledge me, Lord, right now. And so these things are, then I gave the example of Krishna comes as Lord Shiva. Krishna comes as Lord Shiva to get those souls who are not going to be attracted to bhakti yoga, but they're attracted to Lord Shiva, his ashes and his wild dreads and like this. So there's so many ways of preaching, so many ways of presenting Krishna consciousness. And I think it's a matter of sincerity of heart. And if you want to try to judge someone of their sincerity of heart, maybe you may have some good reasons. Maybe there is some good obvious reasons why to say, wait a minute, this is going too far. But maybe not. Maybe it's just, you know, the way you, because you do it differently. So we have to open our hearts and minds a little more, I think, and see this. Not everyone is going to be attracted to the culture of Krishna consciousness in the sense of the robes and bowing down in the temple and eating only, you know, certain foods or this or that, you know, Indian foods. That's not what Prabhupada gave us. I had an argument with one devotee one time. Here's another example. I was also here in... first I'll start with this story. I was in India, and there was the big Cross Maidan Festival, the second one they had to commemorate the old one. It was just several years ago. And my son was there with his friends, and TK from Los Angeles originally, TK the guitar player, he was there, and he was going to play on stage. And they were announcing Mantra Rock, and all the young people, all these young Indian people were so excited. Mantra Rock, Mantra, they were running around yelling it out, we're going to have Mantra Rock. So then this older devotee and me, we were speaking. I hadn't seen him and his wife in a long time. I was greeting them. And when the music started, I said, they're going to have Mantra Rock. And I was excited. And he said, no, Prabhupada would say, that's Maya. You can't do that. You can't play the guitars and sing like that. And I said, oh, no. And I very innocently was saying, no, I was in the Prabhupada's room. And I gave him that example. And I also, another example, when we had the, I think it was Golden Avatar Studios here, right near the Govinda's restaurant, there was a room there. And devotees would record things and like that. And when we were taking a tour with Srila Prabhupada, we went in the Golden Avatar Studio room. And they were playing Namaste Narasingaya with rock music. It was, not, you know, really rocking with the guitars again and all the Western instruments. And it was rocking. And they were kind of looking at Prabhupada like, is this okay? You know, and Prabhupada's smiling and tapping his cane to the beat through the whole thing. And he's smiling, tapping his cane. And I was telling this devotee this. And I said, and at the end, he said, this is better than George Harrison. And he was so proud. He was so proud that we're utilizing what we know, what is dear to us, what we know how to do, our talents. We're utilizing it in Krishna's service. He was so proud. So I said this to the devotee, and still he just went, no, Prabhupada would never approve. And I'm like, all right, you know. So then he started saying, Prabhupada came to give us Indian culture. When he said that, I lost my politeness. And I said, how dare you say that? Prabhupada never came to give Indian culture. He came to give transcendence. And when I said that, I was so strong, and I turn around and I see these three little old Indian gentlemen. They were standing at a booth, like for life membership. They were very old, like in their 70s, 80s, like I'm almost that old now, but. And they were all, like, they were watching us because we're animated as we're speaking, and we started getting like this intense, and they're looking, and I thought, oh man, they're going to think I'm just like against all Indians or prejudice, or, and they're going, yes, Mataji, yes, Prabhupada gave transcendence. So you can look at it any way you like. If you're attracted to the Indian culture, that is also there. That is also there. But if you, and that's good. It, originally, it was supposed to be a higher culture. Nowadays, sorry, but it doesn't come up to where it should be as far as Vedic is concerned. But if you're attracted to that, and that's why you join, because you like saris, you like dhotis, and you want to be a little strange and, you know, whatever. I mean, people come for every reason. There's the four basic reasons. You're in need. You need something. You know, or you have some knowledge and you want to gain more knowledge. You just want to get free from distress. So people come for all different reasons. And it's all there because what does Krishna's name mean? He's all attractive. He attracts everyone. So there's something for everyone. We preach like that. But then how can when someone surrenders, we put them in a little box and say, no, you have to be exactly like this? No, utilize what you've got. Every single person has something, talent, some ability that Krishna has given you. Krishna is the ability in us. So every single person has something, ability, some talent, and some gift. And if you don't utilize it in Prabhupada's service and Krishna's service, then you're missing out. And the movement misses out. When we don't allow that interaction of different flavors, then the movement misses out. So we want to be dynamic disciples, not static disciples. It's easy to take the easy way out. Actually, impersonalism is easy way out. I don't have to deal with this, Prabhu. I don't have to try to interact with relations with devotees because it's always difficult because I'm different. One time devotees were arguing, and a big sannyasis, whatever, and temple leaders, and they were arguing, and they went to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, we can't agree. You know, they say this, we say that, I say this, he says that. And Prabhupada says, yes, that's because you're all persons. If you all agreed with everything, it would be impersonal. So he came to destroy impersonalism. Let's not propagate that within our own hearts. And within our own family, and within our own temple, within our own movement, let's open up ourselves and not be afraid. It's actually Kanista Adhikari to be so afraid that you think only my deity is Lord, only my way of service is the service, only my understanding is the proper understanding. You know, I take this little bit of the philosophy and that's all there is. That's fanaticism. That's how we destroy our devotional service and our movement through this. We have to see the big picture. Lord Chaitanya, read Chaitanya Charitamrita. How many different amazing persons? There was Swarup Damodar, great scholar, so serious, right? And then there was, what's his name, Minikatan Ramdas, who would go hitting everyone on the head with a flute when they were paying obeisances. I mean, and Lord Chaitanya loved every single one of them. And there's all the in-betweens. So let's cooperate like Prabhupada wanted and interact nicely, ladies and gentlemen at least, if not pure devotees. We can't be pure devotees. We can at least be ladies and gentlemen with each other and interact nicely and be dynamic disciples so that Prabhupada's movement will be a great example. If we want to attract the world, then we have to open up our minds a little bit. And we have to see that different people are meant to preach in different ways to different kinds of people. And one more quick little pastime was when I went to get my Gayatri Mantra from Prabhupada, I had only been initiated like a few months by mail, and I was in Gainesville, Florida, and Prabhupada came. So they pushed me in this room, and they said, go get your Gayatri Mantra. Go get your Brahman initiation. And they pushed me in this room, and I was alone, and Prabhupada is sitting there, and I kind of just stumbled in. I don't even know if he knew what was going on, or I kind of didn't. And he just looked at me, and he said, sit down. So I sat down. He was very grave. I sat down. I felt like a little puppy dog, and I sat down like, sit, and sit. And then he said, repeat after me. And he started saying, Om Bor Bhuva. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, in those days, we didn't do much Sanskrit. So, you know, I got the Om, and then was Bor Bhuva, Swat Tat. You know, I kind of lost it, and I couldn't repeat. And he said, repeat. I said, repeat. So again, he said, Om Bor Bhuva, and I'm like losing it. And then he said, they did not give you a paper? No one gave you the paper. It's supposed to be written, and you read it from it. I said, no, Prabhupada, no one gave me a paper. I was like 17 years old. I said, no, Prabhupada, no one gave me paper. And he said, all right, never mind. He said, Hridayananda will give you the mantra tomorrow. Don't worry about it. It's like, you're done here. So I didn't know how to react, because, I mean, every reaction with Prabhupada is amazing and wonderful, and I was just glad to be there for a moment. But at the same time, I was a little like, whoa, this is weird, you know? It's like, I'm not even... So I was backing out, because I was thinking, at least I won't turn my back to him. So I'm like actually walking backwards with my hands, thank you, Prabhupada, thank you, thank you. And then he saw how innocent and ignorant and... you know, bewildered I was. So he just looked at me like this, and then he smiled, and he grabbed the garland off his desk, a big garland like this, and he went and just threw it at me. And I caught it, and I'm backing out the door. Thank you, Prabhupada, thank you. And as soon as I got out the door, there was about 20 devotees in there grabbing the garland, and it all got... but anyway, that was the mercy. Later on, the next day or two, whatever, after Prabhupada left, we had a little fire jagya for the Brahmin initiation and for someone's marriage. And there wasn't enough bananas to go around. So I didn't have a banana. I mean, I gave my banana to someone else because there wasn't enough to go around. And I thought, what's a banana? So I gave my banana to this other girl. And then I thought, then when we had to throw everything in the fire, I thought, yeah, well, I don't have a banana, Krishna. So, you know, whatever. But I was thinking, this, to me, is significant in my life. Because this was my relationship. It's not about the banana. Krishna consciousness is not about the banana. It's not about the actual, you know, the statistical correctness of, you know, following every letter to the T, like the, what do they call, the smarter Brahmins. That's not what Krishna consciousness is about. It's not about the banana. It's about the essence, the heart. Prabhupada was there. He blessed me. That's all I need. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. I didn't get the mantra directly from him. It was good enough for me. I have other mantras from him. I have so much mantras from him. So much instruction. If I imbibe even one word in my lifetime, I'll be so grateful, so happy. That's how I can repay him. So I hope we all remember that it's not about our bananas. It's about the essence of our hearts opening up. Bhakti yoga. Bhakti means love. The yoga of love. This is who we are. This is what we're following. Prabhus and Prabhujis and Vaishnavis and Vaishnavas. Yes. Yes. Okay. Do we have time for one more story? And this is something very dear to my heart and also inspiring for everyone, I believe. I had gone to Mayapur. I was feeling, at the time, Prabhupada had left the planet in 77, and I think it was about a year and a half, 2 years later, I was feeling very inspired, like I had to go to Mayapur. And when I was sitting on the plane, I was thinking, I was trying to do some preaching there with Jayapataka Maharaj. So I was sitting on the plane, and I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll see Prabhupada's sister. I had seen her at a few festivals, but I didn't actually develop a relationship with her. And I thought, maybe I'll see her there. And I thought, well, maybe she's in Calcutta, or I don't know, wherever. And I thought, if it's easy, I'll meet her. If not, I won't. But then something very deep inside my heart said, you're going to Mayapur just to take care of Pishima, and then you're coming back. And that hadn't been my intention, but I was, whoa, this was a deep voice in my heart. And I thought, all right, well, we'll see if that's just my mind or was that really super soul in my heart. I wasn't sure. So anyway, I got to Mayapur. Pishima was there. There was someone taking care of her, and I was going often to visit her. I would play Mridanga and sing, and she would respond and sing with me. And her favorite song was Nitai Padakamala. And sometime I was trying to learn Bengali a little bit, so I had broken Bengali, and I would go, Nitai Padakamala, and she would go, Gochi Tundra Shushitala. And I'd go, Ye Chai Ya Ya, and she'd go, Jagada Judaya, and we'd pretend we're having a conversation. I used to try to make her laugh, because I think that's, I like to make people laugh if I'm capable. So, and I'm hoping Krishna and Prabhupada are laughing at me all the time. That would be good for me. So, yeah, so I would make her laugh, and I'd say different things, come in the room. And one time I said, oh, I'm a palmist, because she was talking about something like going to America. And I said, yes, yes, Pishima is going on big parikram to Krishna and Krishna Loka, and she's a great Mahabhagwat. So she would laugh. And anyway, it ended up that I ended up taking care of her 24 hours, 24/7, and it was her last month on this planet. And I just never left the room. I just stayed in the room, and I was just taking care of her and trying to feed her. She was eating less and less. She was getting weaker and weaker. And at the end of the month, she was kept saying, Kala Kadashi. Kala Kadashi means tomorrow's a Kadashi. And I was thinking, oh, man, what is she thinking? And she was looking very weak. And anyway, I prayed to Prabhupada that I can't take care of her anymore. I can't keep her comfortable. She's very uncomfortable. Please take her, because she's not... and if there's an offense in that, I'll take the offense, because her comfort is more important than anything. And so then that morning, she had stopped interacting at all. And some Bengali devotees were there. They were trying to revive her in a way, and she was just totally wilted on the edge of the bed. And I came in, and I'm rubbing her shoulders, and I was chanting japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I'm thinking, what to do, what to do, what to do? And I wasn't sure. And then I saw her fingers moving. So I thought, oh, well, she can hear me. So I put Prabhupada's tape on, singing Nitai Padakamala. And then I'd go to her every now and then and say, Pishima, you know, in broken Bengali, Jal Lagbe, you know, different things. You need to go to the bathroom, Lagbe, this and that. And she wouldn't answer. And then I'd say, Prabhupada Shuno, means you hear Prabhupada. It's broken Bengali, but it's Prabhupada Shuno. And she would go, huh. So every time I'd ask her different questions if she needed anything, and then I'd say, you hear Prabhupada? Huh. And she wouldn't answer to anything else. So I kept her comfortable in the bed with a mosquito net. And then later in the evening, the Bengali devotees had called her relatives to come, and the Gurukula kids were chanting, and we were all chanting. And I was holding her hand, and at one point, she was fluttering her eyes. And I thought maybe she's going to wake up and say something, and she needs something. I tried to catch her son was right on the opposite side of me, and I'm like looking at him like, catch this. And he was crying and he didn't see. So I went very close to her mouth, and I was like trying to understand, and she just went, Hare, Hare, Ha. And that was it. And there was stillness, and I was thinking, oh my, was that her last breath? I had never experienced this. And I was holding her hand and like that, and I'm just like frozen for a moment. And all of a sudden... And people who know me, you can confirm, but I'm not someone who just makes up things or hallucinates. I'm not a hallucinator, generally speaking. But I actually saw, just like in the movies, the subtle body rising up out of the gross body. Just like there's a subtle body that comes out. Just like in the movies. Oh, that's all I can say. And her hand started raising up and her body started moving up, and I had to actually get out of the way because I'm seeing this like ethereal body, see-through, but her rising up like this and looking in the corner of the room with her hand raised. And I look up at the corner of the room and I see Prabhupada coming down in an ethereal, like see-through, but in his, you know, he's coming down just like that with his hand. And they held hands, and then they started kind of just disappearing into the corner of the room up. And I'm like, and then they both turned around. They both turned around inward, and everyone knows how they looked very similar. They both turned around holding him. They both turned around and they went, like, I don't know, I'm like Prabhupada's big eyebrows when he would have the big smile on his face. They both did that and they had their eyebrows and they're like, come on, everyone. It's like kind of, you're all coming, come on. And they disappeared and I'm like, oh, they left me here, they left me here. And then I realized I'm still holding her hand, but she's not there. And I kind of, sometimes when you feel something by its absence, I realized that I had been praying, oh Krishna, let her have my youth, my energy, my strength, whatever I've got, whatever pious activity I have, whatever devotional service, let her have this now because she needs this strength, you know, she needs this at this time. And I was praying like that, but then I realized after it all ended that it was like going like I was trying to give her, but she was like, whoosh. And I realized, wow, it's just like Prabhupada said, when the body is done, you know, when the soul leaves, then that energy interaction is gone. Anyway, then I started thinking, there was kirtan was still going on, and then I started thinking, okay, that was bad. That was a hallucination. It couldn't have been true. I was just imagining. I'm getting tired. This couldn't have happened. And just as I was thinking that, I'm seeing her body like lighting up, like light shining from her, and I'm thinking, she's glowing. And I use the word glowing. Usually devotees, we say effulgent, bright-faced. And I said, I just like blurted out in my mind, she's glowing. And then I thought, oh, and I even hit my head and I said, okay, Nanga, now you're really hallucinating. None of this can be true. And I actually said that none of this can be true. And as soon as I said that, Pankajanari with another pujari came right in the room, right in front of me. And as soon as I said that, he looked at the other pujari and goes, she's glowing. So when he said that, I thought, oh my God, Krishna, let me hear that. Because if that's true, if this is true, it was all true. That's how I take it. That's my personal realization. And I think I feel I have that great faith that Prabhupada is coming for every single one of us by taking us by the hand. He's taking us by the hand. This is Prabhupada's movement. We have other gurus in our movement. After Prabhupada left, he wanted many, many, many of his disciples to be gurus, and rightly so. And they're all amazing personalities and different personalities. But Prabhupada is the acharya, founder acharya, and he's Jagat Guru. No one takes that place. And so we're all connected through our God brothers, through our God sisters, through our God uncles, through our God aunts or whatever. And we're all connected. And when there's spiritual connection, you don't calculate how far your connection is away or close. Just like in Lord Chaitanya, when he would, when he was traveling through South India, and after he left, they said anyone who was infected with Lord Chaitanya's mercy, they would get infected, and they would get. So we don't want to calculate. Oh, you've only been a devotee this long. You're a disciple of so and so, and I'm a disciple of. This kind of mundane calculation is hurting our movement. You know, we're all in this together. And if we can all be family members, and in spite of sometimes differences in families, you still love each other. We still care about each other. When push comes to shove, we'll still help each other. So I think Prabhupada is coming for every single one of us. And through our gurus or our friends or our God brothers and God sisters. So any comments or questions? Thank you, Hare Krishna. I'm grateful for this opportunity. And all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Prabhupada. All glories to the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. Thank you.